So weird how life
works.
Yeah. I would have not thought this would be me.
Hey, Roll Tide.
I'm not perfect. I'm going to stumble over my words. I'm going to make mistakes.
I think I like people that look like they haven't bathed.
Crunchy. Yeah, but I'm a total train wreck.
Are you ready to do this?
Guarantee you'll see the beast.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Taylor. Hey. Hi, everybody listening.
Hey, Adam.
How are you feeling?
I feel okay. How was your burrito this week?
You know what? The burrito was not perfect.
Not optimal?
No, it really wasn't.
What happened? What happened this time?
Well, I don't know if people remember the burrito disaster of a couple of weeks ago.
The burrito incident of 2019.
Yeah. It was terrible.
What an incident.
I ordered a burrito, and then I got nothing that I ordered. I got a whole bunch of other garbage. It wasn't even hardly a burrito. It was terrible.
I also don't want the burrito incident to be confused with the partial MCL, the MCL tear, because they are two different incidents, yeah. And they're not related at all.
I've had several bad things happen to me this season.
I mean, I don't think you should even leave the house.
Yeah, number one.
Mercury has permanently been in retrograde for Adam since the beginning of the summer.
There is my MCL's partially torn, and there's just a part of my cartilage floating around in my knee, just without attachment to anything. Like, yeah. Whatever. But also, I ordered this burrito last night, and I got everything that I wanted, which is a tease, right? I opened it up. Right. I went with the pork last night.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, like a new flavor, right?
Okay.
Got the hot peppers still, a little bit of cheese in there, you know, but like, make it spicy for me.
But that also seems like it would be really wet. Was it really wet?
It wasn't that wet.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes if you add too many, like, moist
a good burrito place
knows how to distribute.
We'll let you order all the moist condiments you want, and they'll take care of things to make sure it's not too wet.
Right. Very similar to the baked potato at the Princess Pavilion at Disney World.
Yeah. So I ordered this burrito, and I don't know if anyone in our listening audience has ever had this happen to them, but this is a burrito disaster, okay?
Disaster.
The foil was wrapped into the tortilla.
Oh, no.
So that you had two choices. You know, Sophie's choice over here. Do you eat the burrito and then pick the foil out of your mouth? Or do you dissect the burrito to remove the foil and lose the integrity of the structure?
Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing is, guys,
you've got a burrito bowl. You're holding it. You're not eating it out of a bowl with a fork. You're holding a burrito bowl, like juggling burrito pieces.
What I find to be hilarious is I am reacting to this as though I wasn't here when
it happened. You were right here 24 hours ago watching me struggle with this thing.
And you know what I was doing? I was eating my tacos like I didn't have a care in the world.
I'm over here pulling shards of foil out of my mouth.
Struggling.
So,
and I look like that gif of Elmo on that plastic toilet. Boop, boop, boop.
So the approach that I went with was to not realize that there was foil wrapped into the burrito and to just chow into it, like bite aggressively into
it. Did you eat aluminum foil?
Well, no, I pulled it out of my mouth.
Oh, you pulled it out of your mouth.
That's how I realized.
Because you didn't want to suffer the integrity of the burrito.
Yeah.
Sacrifice, excuse me.
Well, I did. I didn't. I bit into it because I was so hungry at the beginning. I didn't. You don't think to check, is the foil wrapped into the burrito? Did some idiot rolling this thing do it in the wrong order?
Sure.
Some idiot did.
Yeah.
The first bite, I was like, oh man, get this thing out of here. And then I realized the mistake that had been made. You know? It's like the end of The Sixth Sense or something. You're, like, you have a, you, this burrito is totally different now. Mm. And
it's almost like the same mistake the Night King made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't watch Game of Thrones. This is Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
What a burrito disaster.
Yeah.
What? D-R-A-M-A. Drama. Right there.
All right, well, like, we're 5 minutes into this.
Okay. So. Well, you know, maybe, you know, people feel like they need to get the update week to week, you know? I mean,
oh, the burrito.
You're doing your PT, so, I mean, what else?
I spend, like, 2 hours a day doing stretches and then doing the dumb bike at the gym.
Just,
like, rehabbing myself so much.
Okay.
And it's going to be like this for three more months.
But will you walk, sir?
I'm walking now.
Okay.
I just have this...
Okay.
I just have this metallic leg.
So we're in Crete!
So, back to the Bachelorette. So we go to Crete for four fantasy suite dates.
Okay, now, Crete seems, like, super nice. You know how all the millennials are going to, like, Santorini and everything? And everybody in my f***ing timeline is in Greece right now? Quit it. No more.
What you're seeing is not those people's real life. It's the life that they want to advertise to you via Instagram. This is what the platform does.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, I actually know these people. These are not influencers. These are, like, real human people.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying...
It sounds like you're saying that.
These are people who are going to make, like, 10 posts a year, and they're going to be, like, at the 10 highest points of their year, and, like, 9 of them are in Greece.
So we're in Greece! You know, I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed.
This is accurate.
And
which takes place in Greece.
Which takes place across Greece.
Across Greece.
Across all of Greece.
Wow. Wrong preposition. My bad.
Right. Among the islands of Greece.
Amidst Greece.
Greece. Ancient Greece, to be specific.
Right.
And I've been reading the novel Circe by Madeline Miller. It is a masterpiece.
It is fan fiction. It is Greek mythology fan fiction.
I will not disagree.
For children.
I will not disagree. It is not for children. I will tell you that right now.
Oh.
She's graphic. She's not as smutty as some of the stuff that I read, though.
That would be hard.
I know. So, we're in Greece! So, I've been reading a lot of content. So, this is a particularly fun fantasy suite week for me.
So, before we get into this, I want to set up something that I noticed 3 dates in.
Okay.
This is an interesting series of 4 dates.
Okay.
Because 3 of them are kind of boring, and then there's Luke's. But these dates can be arranged in a 2x2 matrix where she likes 2 of them and she hates 2 of them, and 2 of them like her and 2 of them hate her, and there's, like, there's interplay here.
Mm.
So she likes one and he likes her back.
Yep.
And then there's 2 where one likes the other and one doesn't, and one's not into it.
Right.
And then there's 1 where everyone hates everyone.
Yeah.
And that's obviously Luke's. Yes. So the first one we see is Peter, and this is the one where he likes her and she likes him. This is the most, I guess, the most positive, but also least maybe to talk about.
You guys, I hate Peter so much. So one of the only redeeming qualities about Peter is that he can grow a nice beard, probably because he's Cuban, I guess? Is that?
No, he's white. Did you listen to last week's episode?
I can't remember. He seems confused.
We're confused. No. Because he's confused.
We are confused because he is confused.
You know how I say that you get from other people what you put into them?
Yes.
If you're confused about what you are, other people are going to be confused about what you are.
Yes. You know, Peter of the Cuban Webbers was on this date and he really had a great time. They got on a boat and they made out a bunch. The thing that I remembered the most from this date was Peter is a very traditional Southern California young man. Every other word out of his mouth is like. Now, I don't remember if Cassie said like this much last season, but I'm going to have to bet that she did. So.
This is the point in the season where it hit me for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking the whole season about how dumb Hannah is and how childish and immature she is.
You have. You've been very vocal.
And it's obvious. It's true.
Yes.
All of that still holds true.
Mm-hmm.
Except Peter is exactly the same.
He's the same person.
This does not mean, don't confuse this for me saying that they are a good couple together. No. No.
You know what? I will argue with
you. They both
have
the same problems. That does not make them compatible. They're 2 -1s. This is addition, not multiplication. 2 -1s make a -2.
Thank you. I needed that.
Oh, my God.
I only know PR math. This is not PR math.
Just because somebody is bad for somebody, or just because somebody is, like, a bad person to be dating, doesn't mean they should be with another bad person to be dating. That's a snowball effect.
But yet
they
are so wildly similar.
Well, yeah, they both like kissing a lot more than they like talking.
I mean, Peter's good at flying planes. I would be very, very worried to hear him over the loudspeaker saying like as much as he did in this episode while we're trying to land the plane.
Do you think he's the real pilot, or do you think he's like the guy in training who sits in the jump seat and monitors flights for a couple of years?
I think he's the one that takes over when the captain's asleep.
Like the autopilot's on.
Yeah, it's like, Peter, watch the dial.
Autopilot's on, but like the plane will shut off if there's not a pulse that's like connected to the right. to the wheel.
Right.
So I guess the big moment of this date is that Peter makes a big deal about saying I love you.
Yeah.
Which we've probably discussed before. When you actually say I love you to somebody that you love, it's not difficult or it's like not. Complicated.
Mm-mm.
It just sort of like happens. You don't have to make this big speech where you're obviously going to say it, but you're like pussyfooting around it. You just say it and it's easy and smooth.
And he was very wary about it. He was trying to figure out what the words to say were, blah, blah, blah. Almost like he was proposing to her, which I found to be really sad. Some of the other things that I would like to address is before he said, I love you, he said, do you know how much I like you? And that just felt so like childish, like a 6-year-old thing. Like, check this box. Do you like me or not? And then she said, Peter is so sexy. I couldn't even write it down, like, because I felt the vomit just rise up in my throat, like,
he's not sexy?
When you are walking around with Tyler Cameron on this show? Excuse me. I mean,
you don't have to be sexy to be a good person.
I could be sexy, man. I could be sexy, man.
Peter, I don't think he's really sexy, but the two of them seem like they're at a very similar point in their life.
They're equally yoked.
They're yoked.
Yoked, yeah.
That's it.
That is yoked.
They don't belong together because neither one of them belongs with anybody. But you know what? They could take a weekend together and have a nice vacation and enjoy a bunch of sex or something.
Yeah, I think
go back to their regular lives.
And I think out of everybody that's here, he actually wants to be with her, which means like I she said, is absolutely not interested in that.
Well, I think she does like him. And
she likes him too. Right, she likes him.
This is the part of the Matrix where she likes him and he likes her.
Right, but I will also say that as a woman, having a man who's super into you... No.
Women are terrible.
We don't like that.
Women are terrible.
Mm-hmm. And men are terrible too. And we will talk about that later.
Men are terrible too in their own different kind of way.
They sure are.
That's it. I have nothing else to say about this date.
Well, I mean,
it went very well. There was no drama.
In the evening, there was no drama. They went to the fantasy suite. Come to find out, we find out that Peter and Hannah had sex in the windmill.
This is the windmill that's been...
That has been advertised. The what?
Windmill?
The windmill?
Windmill.
The windmill.
You thought there were no E's in that word? Turns out
there's two. There's two. What?
Windmill.
No, M-E-A-L?
I think it's M-E-E-L.
Meal?
Like cornmeal. Windmill.
I was thinking meal like... Nom, 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 nom.
Well, no, that's... Yeah.
Like
that's,
Happy Meal.
That's E-A.
Like a Happy Meal.
Yeah, no, she's saying two E's, I think.
All right.
Windmill. All
right.
That's it, right?
I mean, yeah. Okay, Peter, great. Awesome.
Cool. Let's talk about Tyler's date. So for this one...
Okay, ladies,
this
I'm
is the one where,
boring.
At this point in the Matrix, he very much likes her,
mm-hmm.
and she does not want him to be here.
Guys, I'm going to say something super crass, so please get the car horn ready.
Dad, stop listening.
Tyler.
Tyler is very comfortable in his date.
Mm.
He's a really nice guy.
He is a really nice guy. You guys, I had this conversation with somebody this week where we went in depth in some of Tyler's idiosyncrasies. Fashion choices, the community he surrounds himself with. And I think Tyler is the new Peter, not Peter of the Cuban Webbers. I'm talking Peter Krause.
He is not.
I
love you and you're my wife, but you're super wrong.
Okay. So what makes you feel, besides Tyler's adjacency to the white trash community, what makes you feel like Tyler could not be on the level of Peter Krause?
He's dumb.
Tyler has an MBA.
Hey, great.
So what?
I raise you a Masters you can of buy Business an MBA. That is true. A lot of people do end up going to that quote-unquote Harvard Business School weekend class and get an MBA.
Yeah. I mean, just look at it. Like,
listen, Peter, what do you mean just look at it? What do you mean?
He's dumb.
How dare you? That is racist, Adam.
I'm not saying he's a bad person. I think he is, of the four people left, the best person by 10,000 miles.
That's right.
Okay? We're not doing power rankings this week because nothing has happened.
Why should we?
But if we did, he would be my number one.
Tyler's my number one all day. A 5-inch inseam.
Right? Just because somebody is attractive to you, Taylor Robinson, does not mean they're the same, guys.
I think so.
No. I think we're talking about people who are both worth the same amount in the same volume, mm-hmm. but in different directions.
So you're saying that you care about Peter Krause just as much as I do?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm saying that it's... No, stop. Listen to what I'm saying and not what you want to hear.
No.
What I'm saying is it's okay that you like these two guys equally, though they're not the same.
They are in my heart.
That's okay. I would like you to have a shot with either one of them.
I could.
But one of them's going to take you to the opera and the other one's going to take you to an ice cream parlor. But you're going to have a great time with both of them.
But I don't want to go to the opera. Peter would know I wouldn't want to go to the opera. Peter would know I would want to go to Disneyland and get a baked potato from the Princess Pavilion.
Peter's had all this time. He hasn't made any moves towards the baked potato pavilion. Princess Pavilion.
Tyler would take me.
Yeah, Tyler would.
And he'd put the ears on too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously. So they have this like spa date where they get to put their hands on each other and give each other a massage.
It was hot. I was feeling it.
Yeah. You know, and they do that and he's very comfortable. You know, this is not a date for the squeamish.
No. And Hannah was pretty clear that her relationship with Tyler does not suffer in the physical realm whatsoever.
Well, I'm so horned up.
They like to touch. They like to kiss. He likes to be on her. She likes to be on him. But the challenge becomes the emotional talking connection, which I could understand could be difficult with Tyler, but she probably just doesn't know how to crack that egg.
I think for her it's difficult with everyone. It's interesting to me that she brings this up with Tyler specifically because she doesn't have any kind of an actual in-depth relationship with anybody.
No. Well,
if she did, we would have seen it on camera
right
by now. She can't talk to anyone about anything.
And remember, she doesn't also have an in-depth relationship with anybody because she spent so much time focused on Luke that she didn't have the time to get to know any of these people for real, for real.
I think with Tyler, I said this last week and I think it's very true. I think she accidentally gave him a rose for this week because a couple of things. Number one, because she makes up this reason like, oh, it's physical, but isn't there anything else? Like, you just got done with this date with Peter. You don't know what Peter's middle name is. Like, you don't know.
It's something Cuban.
Right. you did not bring up the same concern with everybody else, even though it is obviously there. Mm. And also, he did exactly what she says in the state. She's like, let's not go to the fantasy suite. And he's like, how about we go and we don't do any sex stuff. We'll just hang out and talk.
Well, that's not what happened. Because she said, I don't want to go to the fantasy suite suite with you because of this. But then she was super clear that she does want to go, but use it for conversation and we're not gonna have sex.
Yeah, and he's like, cool, let's do it.
Which,
and then they
hello?
Do.
Hello? Oh my god, Tyler!
So she goes, hey, listen, I like you, but we need to do this other thing. And he goes, 100%, I will do it exactly like you said, and I will do it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks out of it, and she still doesn't like him. It's not gonna, like, she does not want him here. She accidentally kept him in.
So here's what most likely happened. Based on my research and in thinking about it a little bit longer, Hannah was never going to kick somebody off that week. The week of hometowns, she was never going to not have all four of them come to the hometown dates. Because, for example, when she was kicking Mike off, she was visibly upset. She was freaking out. She was worried. She was shaking. She was crying. She was emotional. All that kind of stuff. She tends to get like that around the guys that she's with. for the hometown dates, when she realized that there wasn't, quote unquote, another Rose, she was not at all worried.
She can't count to three. There's three roses.
Right. But she was not at all worried, as though she didn't have a conversation with the producers ahead of time to give her another rose. Like, if she, because when Tyler left today, she was crying. She was like freaked out, or like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. And he was perfect and wonderful. And that was after leaving him after the fantasy suite evening. And she didn't freak out or shed a tear about the possibility that she would have to kick somebody off the week before. It was clear that she had a conversation with the producers and they said, okay, well, let's make it dramatic and then act like we're not going to give you a rose, but we will. I feel like that's my theory. I don't think it was that, what you're saying.
I think she was standing up there going, okay, I'm going to cut Tyler. I'm going to cut Tyler. I'm going to cut Tyler. And they give, like, Chris Harrison gives her the rose. And she goes, okay, Tyler. Oh,
I think she was always going to give him four.
All right.
So,
but we agree. Tyler is not.
She's not.
He really does
Tyler
like her.
Tyler is just a saint. He is just fantastic. Every time he's on this show, he does something more exciting, and we're thrilled, and we're excited, and we love Tyler.
Yes. You say
we
Taylor Robinson.
We love Tyler, the royal we.
Okay, so that's his date. Yes. Now it's going to get interesting. We've already used up the two guys who already like her, so now we are down to two guys left who don't like her. Mm. The thing is, she likes one and she hates one.
Yeah.
The first date is with Jed, ooh, who she likes. He does not want to be with her, and she likes him a lot.
This was roostive, guys.
Why don't you tell us what happened on this date?
So, they met. It seemed like when Jed sort of was talking about Hannah, it was super awkward, and he seemed like he was kind of going through the motions in terms of what he was saying about her, and saying, yeah, you know, I really like Hannah, like, I'm in love with her. And he sounded like a robot.
Yeah, he has to say
this. He sounded like a robot. It was really, and you could tell with Peter, with somebody who actually is into Hannah, like all of this energy he puts behind his words and using the words journey, and he can't help himself and he's bursting with emotion. And Jed is just kind of standing there like, yeah, I like Hannah. Oh, wait, I'm in love with Hannah.
Yeah.
And this is just a great next step for us. So, classic walk-a-talk date in Crete. They have lunch with this family. This family starts asking them questions, and Jed stops them and pulls Hannah aside to have a conversation about, guess who? Luke.
Well, like, I would pull her aside, too, because it's weird. Their date is they just go to some family's house and they're like at their family celebration, like family barbecue or whatever for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just there.
Hey, it's like being an Airbnb.
Yeah, but it's like being an Airbnb where the people still live there.
Yes.
It's not an entire place. It's like you rented a room at somebody's house.
Sometimes people do that.
I know. I'm saying I'm selecting filter options for people in the menu right now. So they do this, and these people they're trying to ask these questions, but they obviously don't really speak English, you know, which is fine for Hannah, because she doesn't either. And so Jed's like, whatever, I gotta get out of here. They talk about Luke, and this is Jed trying to fall on the sword.
Yeah.
He is trying to lose. He's like, listen, I can't do this. I don't want to be in this thing with you if you're confused about Luke. How could you possibly be so great if you're still giving this guy chances?
But that's not... And the interesting thing is that... And Jed continued this thought throughout the evening. That, first of all, the way that he said this to her, the first time he said it, it wasn't as mean. But once they got to the evening and I wrote it down, and when he said it, you could see her face, like, fully break. I think he said, I wrote it down, it says more about how you make decisions, the reason that he is still here.
You don't know.
I could tell that hurt her feelings so deeply in her body.
That's what he's trying to do.
I was like, oh my God. I said, sure, yes, we have people like Luke who are out here basically telling you, you can't have sex with anybody except me, which is horrible and tragic and not the right thing to do. But what Jed said is just as mean and just as evil and just as despicable.
But that Jed is trying to do that. He's trying to insult her.
I'm not saying that he's not. I'm just saying that that is just as mean and evil and not okay. And Hannah was trying to twist his language to try to either justify to herself or justify to someone who was watching this television show.
This is the difference between somebody that she likes and somebody she doesn't.
Right. She was trying to twist his words and justifying and saying, oh, I know you're saying this because you really care about me and you love me.
Thank you.
And Jed did not agree or corroborate with that at all. He said, actually, I'm just worried about how you make decisions. I'm not really worried about me caring about you and being in love with you because I want you to make good decisions for yourself. It's actually about, I don't think you're a good decision maker. And as a result, I don't think you're a good partner.
And she goes, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Thank you for having the courage to bring this up. It really shows that we're on that next level. And Jed's face is like, did you listen?
You didn't hear me. And he continued to verbally just beat her up.
It's like, I'm gonna take a knee on this. I'd like to just back out.
Yeah. I think he was trying to throw the match.
It backfired.
And it backfired.
Because she didn't figure it out.
She didn't figure it out.
She let her emotions get in the way.
And this is one of those situations, like when you're sometimes talking to somebody and they say something under the guise of being honest, but it's actually super mean. Yeah. Let me be honest with you.
I could never see you again and I wouldn't be upset about it.
Right. I'm like, no, girl, that's really.
You don't just get to say whatever evil? You want you because just... you set it up that way.
Right, right. Or under the guise of, I love you and I really care about you, so I'm just going to be honest about how I feel. No, you need to. No, that's not how that works.
Listen, I really enjoy our time together, but it's really bothering me that you have a second grade education. And you're a grown person.
Again.
And she was like, oh my God. Thank you for challenging me in this new and exciting way.
Now I know I need to read more books.
Now that I know that you'll tell me what's wrong with me, I could just be with you forever.
Horrible.
And then I'll just keep improving.
So Jed was like, fine, whatever. I guess I'll have sex with you. And they did.
Mm-hmm. And then he left in the morning. Did not turn around and look back, just walked away because he was in such a rush to get out of there.
Yeah.
And she was crying because she missed him already.
Oh my God, I feel so bad for her. She's going to pick him.
She is very into Jed, and he could not be making it clear he doesn't want to play anymore.
Stand her.
He's walking away to the producers, and he's like, hey, listen, can I get out of here?
Can I fake my own death? Yeah. Is that on the table? Can I just, like, fake that I jump from these cliffs and just, like,
he's gonna, like,
never to return?
Like Ferris Bueller, the next rose ceremony. You're like, no, I'm sick.
I'm sick.
Licks his palms. Like, no, trust me, I'm sick. I'm sick. I gotta bow out.
I'm sick.
Jed. He is going to accidentally win this thing.
He is.
And he's going to have to live with the consequences.
And there will be some serious consequences because let's not forget.
That he People deserves Magazine a reckoning.
Exclusive story. Like, yeah, there's a lot to be heard.
It is not wrong for him to not be attracted to Hannah and to be trying to lose. It is wrong that he was dating somebody else the day before he went on the show.
Not great, Bob. Wait, and was texting her from the plane. You're not supposed to be on Wi-Fi.
No. Well, you can be.
But the show does not allow you to be on Wi-Fi at that time. You're supposed to be immersed in the journey. Immersed.
You need to get that Peter language out of your mouth. Mm. That's it for Jed, right? It's
He really did try to throw the match here.
It is, yeah.
It was very clear. When he started spiraling about Luke at the daytime part of the date, I said, he's trying to throw it.
He was.
He's trying to throw it. Because he's got trying back to say something so and he's like, personally I am mean. Over it. I hate this.
And he wouldn't say, I think Peter or Tyler would have said, listen, I'm worried that you're into Luke and I don't think that's a good guy. And like, I'm worried that he's going to say or do something to you that's mean. What Jed said is, I'm worried that you're into Luke and it's because you're a terrible person.
Right? And she was like, oh my god, I love when you call me on my and it's like, no, no, girl.
He turned it into, he turned like just anything into a personal attack.
Oh my god.
Know?
And like, it's so blatant. Like, you could see it. You could see it. Oh, I feel bad for her. Well, let's get to
Jed.
Luke.
Don't listen to Jed's music.
Don't.
As the moral of the story. Don't give him what he wants.
Yes.
Also, his music's probably bad. From what we've heard on the show, it's not good.
I mean, I think maybe if he had the time to write a song, that it might be
This is his
fine.
Full-time job. It's all he does.
Well, yeah, but you know.
Let's talk about the hate-hate date.
Woo!
Ooh-wee. They saved the one we all wanted for last.
Because we knew what was getting ready to happen.
It's Luke. Give him probably the best actual date. They go to Santorini, which is a great bucket list type date.
I mean,
they said it like four times.
It is the millennial sort of vacation spot right now. I mean, everybody was going to Croatia last year, and now we're back to Greece.
Yeah. My brother's going on all these trips.
Your brother's been to Greece?
I think so.
What?
I think he and Jen went to Greece.
Why won't you take me to Greece?
You're right.
Yeah!
I'm a terrible husband.
Uh-huh!
Why won't you take me to Greece? It's because you're a terrible person. Because
you're a terrible person.
I'm
going to
make this a personal attack.
I'm
going to
make this a personal attack. You make bad decisions. You're a bad husband.
And then, now and you've then, learned something.
And then you know what you're supposed to say. Oh my god, thank you for calling me on my...
Oh my god, I wrote a song about this. So they go to Santorini, and they see all the sights, and it's great, even though there's a ton of other people just around all the time.
Well, the streets are very narrow.
Yeah, there's a lot of tourists there.
Yeah, and there's traveling pants.
So it starts off kind of on the right track. She's like, hey, listen.
Okay,
I went
for
to,
who?
I went
for
to,
who? Well, on the right track for who?
For Luke, for this being a positive date. She's great. Like, hey, I went to your hometown, and I ate up all the propaganda your friends and family fed to me.
This was really... interesting that she said, you know, she said something about who your family believes you are.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Oh, I thought to myself, I said, Hannah, did you hear yourself say that? Because don't you find it odd that there are all these people around you that are telling you who Luke really is, and then you went home and you instead found out that Luke is a different person, and that doesn't seem weird to you?
I mean, what does it matter? The real date does not occur during the sightseeing.
Yeah.
In Santa. The real date starts later. Boom, it's dinner time. Let's sit and have this conversation right now where it is revealed to us the depths to which his psychology is just broken.
Yes. And I would also like to address that she said in the helicopter on their way to Santorini that he's at his best with me when no one else is around. That is a huge issue. You want your partner to be great all the time. You want your partner to be amazing with all of your friends, all of the people around you, the people that you don't know, the people that you do know, when you're walking down the street, when you go into a cafe and they're trying to buy a bottle of smart water from somebody. Your partner should be a great person all the time, not just when they're around you.
Here's the thing. You know, tell me if I'm wrong here. Your partner should be a good person when they're around you.
Also,
he's
but,
not even that.
But not just, I mean,
he's
know,
not
I'm
even
saying,
a good person when he's around her.
Absolutely not. Okay, let's get to the
I mean, he's
thing.
Miserable with everybody else.
He's absolutely miserable.
But he's not even good with her. They're fighting 100% of the time.
And for good reason.
They're fighting, and then he's begging, and then they're fighting, and then he's begging, and that's how their relationship works.
Ugh.
I mean, he's just miserable to everyone.
He's truly a miserable
including
person.
Her.
And including the people that he has propaganded.
Propagandized?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't actually know.
Are you sure? Are you sure you don't know? Because I feel like you have to know.
This is a word I should know. I feel like it is propagandized.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
You know, I'm not Merriam-Webster, but, you know.
Is it Miriam or is it Merriam?
I don't know.
Did you just say it fancy to, like, make people feel some kind of way about
everyone
you?
Everyone who's listening should feel like I have a better grasp of the English language than
Miriam. That. Ugh. All right, so Luke got into his sort of psychological
running for Pope
high horse.
He's about, in Greece, so it's extra spiritual.
About a number of things. So the conversation initially started with, you know, when I think about marriage, I want it the way I want it. What does that mean? Let's continue. He then also said that you talked to me, in referencing Hannah, you talked to me about being the spiritual arrow of your household. And I feel like I am the spiritual arrow of my household. And I think the two of us together, that's how things are supposed to be. Meaning
one super long arrow.
One super long,
a double big, arrow.
Huge 9-inch arrow.
A big arrow.
A big arrow. So
nobody's ever had a problem with the size and direction of Luke's arrow.
Of Luke's arrow.
Right?
Right. So then this is where things...
Even though he has sheathed it since the shower experience.
Right. So he says that he has not had sex in... He said 3.5 or 4 years.
He brings this up.
This is a huge, unprovoked. And this is a huge issue because if you have not had sex in that period of time, you know the exact time. If you're saying 3.5 to 4 years, that's a large issue for me. But whatever. We're going to move on.
Maybe he doesn't remember, but you know.
But he remembered Jesus coming to him in the shower so vividly. And yet you don't know how long it's been since you've had sex.
Let's not take our eyes off the prize. He is not 3.5 to 4 years old. Him saying, I have not had sex in this amount of time means I have had sex before and then I stopped. But I'm not pure totally here.
Yes.
Right?
Which is so, I mean, the fact that he would have the nerve to even begin this conversation with that anecdote is wild to me. So then he goes into his speech as we know it to be that essentially if Hannah had sex with somebody that wasn't him or had sex on the fantasy suite.
In a windmill or on a boat or whatever.
That based on whatever order the fantasy suites are, if he is the last date, then he's basically going to get up and go home.
Yeah, and this is obviously a false ultimatum because...
Sure.
Because you have to literally hire a bulldozer to move this guy off the premises.
Because no does not mean no for him. Which I find to be odd.
He thinks he can talk his way out of everything.
And that's the crazy thing. So he said all this insane stuff to her that, you know, if you had sex with somebody, I basically want to go home. And then called her having sex with someone a slip up. And this is the second time he's used that kind of language with her when talking about whether or not she's having sex with somebody or getting into an intimate situation with somebody. He's called it a slip up or a gaffe or you know, something like so trivial and a small mistake, a silly mistake that they could work through. The fact that he continues to use that language is so wildly disrespectful and saying, oh, I'll be willing to work through it.
Well, this is part of his game. He makes it into, like, you owe him something.
Right.
And but then there's an important thing that happens in the middle of
this. Right. And then when you call him out on it, he's like, oh, wait, I didn't mean it like that. Then why would say that?
I didn't mean it like that is his middle name.
Oh, my God. Like,
that is the only thing.
What? So, like, what a freak.
So he's like, listen, I just want you to know I'm at a point where if you've had sex at all, I can't be with you. And she goes, you know, and like... You know, I don't like Hannah. I think she's wildly unattractive. She's not ready for a relationship. Like, no. There's nothing about her that's attractive.
Tyler should have been on Rachel's season. However, like, there's a lot of things that we could have done differently.
However, this is a good moment for her. She goes, listen, I've given you second chances when you mess up, and you give me this one criteria where, criterion, I believe is what I meant to say there. You give me this one box where if I've messed up, I'm permanently out.
Right.
That doesn't seem fair.
And it's so ridiculous that hers is about sex. And the things...
Well, hers is only about sex because this is the thing that he has that's unique to him.
Well,
this
that's is unique to him and that he feels like he has power over her in this situation.
This is his, like... In the field, in the universe of the show, this is his competitive advantage. This is the thing that's unique about him is that he doesn't have sex anymore.
Sure. So
he could literally play this card against anybody else in the house and this is what he does. And he's like, well, I'm a better person than this person because I check the box and they don't. It's how he values other people because it's the same value measure that is going to result in him being on top.
Right. But it is wild that hers has to be sex related. And yet the box that she is checking for him is, I want to know that you're a nice person and that people like you. And you are going to sit here on my television show, the show that I am in charge of, and tell me that you're going to walk out because I'm going to have sex with somebody? What? No.
Yeah, well, he obviously doesn't mean it. So she goes, listen, you know, this is... The table turned. You can see it in her face. She's turning, like, mid his speech. So she goes, whatever, you can't do this. And then he starts backtracking and sort of begging and right. pleading and changing her position.
Which is so, like, and, no.
And you can see her... You can see her changing her mind, you know, mid this thing. So, you know, he's like, I'm going to leave you if you had sex. And she's like, I did. And he goes, okay, I'm willing to work through this. And she goes, you know what? No.
Yeah, but I mean, it's actually, not even, it wasn't even that simple. Like, he didn't even say it to her in that sort of simplistic of a way. He said it to her in the fact
yeah,
that
this is a
you're so stupid. Like, I can't even believe you would do something this dumb, but I guess we'll figure it out. And she said something that I really did appreciate, that she said, you have shown that you don't have any respect for anybody here. You don't respect me. You don't respect the other guys. And you don't respect yourself because you're acting like an asshole. Which I thought was wonderful. And the other thing is that among all of this, I can't understand why she would be surprised. Because
well,
she's shown this kind of behavior off jump.
She's still not smart. Like, she still had opportunity to see this and didn't take them. She's not purely blameless here. This is not like a one villain, one hero thing.
I mean, these are two
people who have both done really, like, who have both made very bad mistakes.
And this is the second time he has said something like this to her, which is like, he shouldn't be able to even say it the first time.
So it starts raining.
Yeah.
It starts storming. Like, it's windy. It's, you know, the environment responds to what they're doing.
I love it. I love it. The visual effects on this were wild.
So Hannah's made up her mind. She's like, listen, you're going to leave. She says, it's over. Come on. And she stands up from the table, like, to let him go. And he's like, listen, can I just have a minute to explain myself?
No.
And she goes, no.
No.
And he's like, 1 minute. Just give me 1 minute.
No.
Just 1 minute. She goes, no. And he goes, you owe me a minute. And
she's, that was crazy.
She's like, officially overboard now. She goes, no, I don't owe you anything. Leave. And she just stands up, and he just sits there. And he's trying to think of the thing he can say to change the conversation, to keep himself innocent.
No.
And this is his move. Like, he's going to avoid leaving the show.
I can't believe he would fix his mouth to say, you owe me a minute. I don't owe you dude.
So eventually, they stand up. They walk towards the car.
I would have just got up and walked out. Like, if he had sat there...
I don't know
if
she's allowed to.
I mean, I would have figured... I mean, if Colton was allowed to jump the fence and run into the Portuguese night, she could have gotten up from that table and said, I'm going to go into my room and I'm going to lock the door and you better be gone by the time I
open. But somebody already did that, so they got to make... It can't be a first.
Listen, if it's my show, that's what I'm doing.
So they walk to the car. He is not going to get in the car. Like, this is his last. He just physically will not leave the
show. And she's talking to him like a child.
And yeah, and she goes, listen, I don't want you. Get off the show. I'm mad at you. And he goes, you know, if you're willing to change your mind, I'll forgive you. Which is,
again.
Is his thing. He makes himself the victim of everything.
He continues to do this. And then goes in the, can I pray with you right now? Leave Jesus' name out of your mouth.
He has to be the bigger man, even when he is clearly done.
God, what a nightmare. What a nightmare. So we end the show on that.
And that's it. And then, like, he gets in the van and leaves. But we know he's not done yet
because
he's a psychopath.
So We're not doing power rankings. Let's get right into
bold predictions. There's also no end of the road. There's because no end for of the 2 weeks in a row now, we have not lost a person.
Right. So let's get right into our bold predictions, because next week, clearly it seems like it's a double episode. It's still 2 hours, but the first hour is essentially the rose ceremony, and the second hour is Mentel All?
It looks like we're going to get 1 hour of rose ceremony, which is a long rose ceremony. But Luke has to come back and try to propose in the middle of it.
Yay.
Which is not going to go well, but the producers have to keep him on the show. So he's going to do that, and she's going to say, no, get out. And then she's going to say, also, Tyler, I'm sorry. I didn't even mean to give you a rose at the last rose ceremony, but you're out of this one too.
Well, I thought it was really interesting that he, essentially what we thought when we first saw that part of the show, that he was going to come back, that I thought he was going to actually come back and come back to her one-on-one. He came back to the rose ceremony, or at least the producers brought him back to the rose ceremony, because the rest of the guys are thrilled that he's gone. They're like, yes, this is it. It is happening. Regardless of who's going to end up getting those two roses, they're psyched. So Luke comes back to that rose ceremony, and that's when things really get intense, because they don't want any part of it. It is clear that Hannah kicked him off. Tyler's ready to fight, and I'm ready to drop these draws for it.
Of course you are. So we're going to get an hour of that.
Yeah.
Where they're like, hey, fight me, you know, whatever.
She's going
to say, no, get out of here.
And God, what is she wearing?
It looks terrible.
What a hideous outfit. I thought that was like she was working out. When I first saw it, I said, oh, it's like a workout top.
No,
it is a dress. It's a dress. Cutout. Says who? Calvin Klein.
That's right. So the good news is there's only an hour of Men Tell All.
Great.
Where we're going to get my bold prediction here. We're going to get basically one act of all the guys sitting there being like, yeah, we kind of all like each other except Luke. Then Luke is going to be on the couch for maybe three acts.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mike's going to get one. Tyler's going to get one. And then Hannah is only going to be on the couch for one commercial break, one act.
All this in 1 hour, you're saying, is going to happen?
Yeah, there's six.
Okay.
There's six. So one of the guys, I guess three of Mike. Ooh, no, three of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm doing it wrong. It's got to be one of the guys, two of Luke, one of Mike, one of Tyler, and then the last one is her. And she's not, like, you guys forget she cannot put together sentences on
it. I haven't forgotten it.
When she talks, it's just a series of conjunctions and prepositions and pauses.
So the question.
And she just keeps going, but she never stops about what she's thinking. And that's just the way she talks.
So the question becomes.
When she's on TV.
Shut up, Adam! The question becomes, if they shot the Mental All last week and all of this stuff has come out about Jed.
They got to save it for after the final rose.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying that if, in my mind, I think she picks Jed. If she picks Jed, this all happened like 3 months ago. The story about...
They're not still together.
I mean, it can't be. If she picked Jed, the story came out about all this. I'm sure they had some kind of altercation. I'm curious about what her state of mind is going to be if they shot this last week and if her and Jed have broken up in the time period between when all this has happened.
I think it's almost unavoidable that they have.
Yeah.
And the real question is, are we going to get an hour of the two proposals and then an hour of after the final rose? Or are we going to get a Monday night 2 hour thing where she picks Jed and then a Tuesday night 2 hour thing where we watch the fallout of the breakup?
Well, the question becomes,
a la Becca
and Ari. Well, if they do the fallout of the breakup and Peter's still available, does Peter bend the knee on after the final rose?
No. Because Peter will have had 3 months to go back to regular society and move on, and he's dumb, so he moved on.
I don't know.
Well, or maybe he's smart and he moved on, but I don't think he's the kind of guy...
But the beauty of that would be if Peter came into this whole thing and then thought, hey, I'm still really in love with Becca, and she broke up with Jed, get this goon out of here, I'm still in love with her, and maybe that opens the door for Mike to be the bachelor. So one can only hope. Right?
Well, I don't think Peter's even in the running.
Peter's in the running towards becoming America's Next Top Model.
Next Top Model? Get out of here.
Honey, I know what I said.
He needs a beard, though.
He does need the beard.
It seems like it's relatively clear what's going to happen from all the promos. They're giving it to you.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if Peter's like, yeah, second place is cool enough for me. Like, I'll take that.
I don't know. He's a pilot. He's a pilot with condoms in his glove compartment and a black-on-black Mercedes that he doesn't even own.
It's not even his, yeah. They planted that car and the condoms.
He doesn't like to come in second place.
Anyway, just really try to make sure you pay attention to how she talks.
Yeah.
It is so underwhelming. Just a disaster of the English language.
And the last thing I'll leave you with is the sadness of this show is that men like Luke are a dime a dozen. And this happens a lot as women try to date. And I'm sorry.
They pick them on this show.
Yeah. And women tend to pick guys like Luke, too. Because on the surface, they seem like they're reasonable and reasonable people.
Hey. I mean, he's only here because she keeps giving him chances. If you're a guy and you're dating somebody who does that kind of stuff, give them one chance. And if they miss it up, you know, believe them the first time.
You should be talking to the kids on Euphoria.
No. Nobody should be. No.
Oh, boy.
That's another can of worms. I guess we'll just see you guys next week.
Okay, bye.
Stop with my mind. None of you know anything about me. I want fun and I want adventures.
Because all we do is talk about stupid
jabroni.
The Roll Tide, yeah.
It was real and it was raw.
I'm a normal human being, like trying to be the Bachelorette.